It's time now for Minds Over Matter, the Bay Area's favorite quiz show. Today, moderator Dana Rodriguez is joined by two panelists, former music critic Joshua Cosman and technical editor Kira Pace. And now, here's your host, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Joanne. Welcome, everybody, and a happy Saturday morning. We do hope you could spend the next hour with us because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So that's what you're looking for, your participation. It's very, very important to us. Plus, we love to hear from you. The two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134, or toll-free, yes, we have a toll-free number, 866-798-8255. Again, that is 866-798-8255. It's always a good time to call early in the show. We can do your call full justice, your question, or your answer. And plus, we really enjoy talking to you. And but I want to give you the option also of emailing us during the show if you like. And that email address is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. So that is MINDSOVERMATTER1. That's the numeral one, mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. If you would like to hear us in live stream, that is at kalw.org, of course. And if you'd like to hear the podcast after the show, and who wouldn't? That also is at kalw.org and many other places, but start with KLW. I'm sure that would be appreciated. Just one more reminder that our two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. And we'll be handling questions on just about every subject, generally. Try to keep away from sports and rock and roll. But other than that, pretty much open to everything. So I'll leave it up to you. You can ask a question of your own or answer one of ours. We'll be asking ours momentarily. We're going to start with a round of introductions. And here's the first. Kira Pace is soliciting bids for her introduction, starting at 50 cents.
So if you have an introduction for me, I'm open to any and all introduction possibilities. Joshua Cosman is the kindest, bravest, warmest, most wonderful human being I've ever known in my life.
And our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, never met a man he didn't like, but then he doesn't get out much.
Nope. And I just a note to everybody that Joshua's introduction was totally unsolicited.
Yes. Oh, no. Did you send one, Joshua? I didn't.
Yeah, that came right from the heart.
I really felt it. Yeah.
All right. And we'll begin the questioning with Kira Pace.
Okay. I am going to give you some, or a list rather, of some foods that are considered national dishes. For each national dish, I want you to tell me the country for which it is the national dish. So I've got 10 foods. Prepare to write.
So when you say, just to be clear, are these foods that you, they're prepared foods, so like you would have them as a main course in a meal or something like that? You
know, yes, like, a dish, as it were. Yes, it is a prepared food. Some of them are full meals. Some of them are just items that you would have. Like this first one, for example, is an item. It's called kachapuri. Kachapuri. That's spelled K-H-A-C-H-I-P-U-R-I. At least its Latinized version is, and there's a hint. So kachapuri is the first one. The second one is bulgogi. B-U-L-G-O-G-I, bulgogi. Number three is ackee and saltfish, A-C-K-E-E, and saltfish. The fourth one is called paella, P-A-E-L-L-A. I've pronounced it horribly, nevertheless, paella.
That's right.
Number five is Nasi Goreng, N-A-S-I, G-O-R-E-N-G, Nasi Goreng. Number six is goulash. Goulash. Number seven, I will spell it for you. It's M-O-U-L-E-S dash F-R-I-E-T-E-S, moules frites. So M-O-U-L-E-S dash F-R-I-E-T-E-S, because my pronunciation of moules frites is almost certainly terrible. Number eight is Watt, W-A-T. Watt. Number nine is Papusa, P-A-P-U-S-A, Papusa. And number 10 is Encebollado, E-N-C-E-B-O-L-L-A-D-O, Encebollado. So once again, the list, Khachapuri, Bulgogi, Ackee and Saltfish, Paella, Nasi Goreng, Goulash, Moules Frites, Watt, Papusa, and Encebollado.
All right, Josh, I'll let you go ahead.
I'll give you two each.
Okay. I don't know about the saltfish, but Ackee is Jamaican.
It is all Jamaican. Yes, Ackee and saltfish is a Jamaican dish. It's salted cod and Ackee fruit.
There you go. All right. Yeah, go ahead, Dana.
Well, Khachapuri, although I have not had it, I have sat next to people who have had it because it has cheese on it. At least the one I saw had cheese. And that's a Georgian, I believe.
It is. And it is delicious. And there's a place that you can get khachapuri in the Bay Area that is fantastic.
Wow.
And again, Watt, I believe I have tried at some point. I think it's Ethiopian and Eritrean. But
yeah, I would accept both. Yes.
Yeah.
It's a meat and vegetable stew. And fun fact, Dora Watt is the chicken version, and the chicken is cut into 12 pieces that represent the 12 apostles of Christ. There you go. Did you have one more, Josh?
Sure. I'll take the lowest hanging fruit. Goulash is Hungarian.
Goulash is Hungarian. It's a soup or stew of meat and vegetable with paprika.
All right.
So the ones we have left for the audience are bulgogi, paella, nasi goreng, moules frites, papusa, and encebollado.
And these are
foods that are considered national dishes. So you tell me what country they're the national dish for.
All right.
Kira, could you spell nasi goreng? Because when you said it the first time, I wrote N-A-Z-I, and I'm getting tired of looking at it.
N-A-S-I. N-A-S-I.
Thank you. Beautiful.
All right. Good job. And Josh.
All right. I have a question for you about stand-up comedy, an art form that we most often encounter live or on television. But, of course, there have been many live album recordings by stand-up comedians. I'm going to tell you give you the names of some famous comedy records, and you tell me who the comedian or comedians are.
You mean the title of the record?
I'm going to give you the title of the record. Right. You tell me the comedian or comedians. All right. I have eight of them. Number one, Class Clown. Number two, Don't Crush That Dwarf, Hand Me the Pliers. Number three, Dress to Kill, Dress to Kill. Number four, For Your Consideration. Number five, Live on the Sunset Strip. Number six, Taste This. Number seven, The 2,000-Year-Old Man. And number eight, They're All Gonna Laugh at You. So these are comedy records. I'll give you the titles. You give me the comedian or comedians. Class Clown, Don't Crush That Dwarf, Hand Me the Pliers. Dress to Kill, For Your Consideration. Live on the Sunset Strip, Taste This, The 2,000-Year-Old Man, and They're All Gonna Laugh at You. Maybe take two each.
They're all going to laugh at you.
Go ahead.
Do you want to do yours?
No, go ahead, Kira.
All right. My two will be, they're all going to laugh at you, which is Adam Sandler.
Yes.
Which oddly enough, I was quoting at 4 a.m. just earlier today. So that's bizarre that it came up because that is an old album. And let's do For Your Consideration, which I believe is Kathy Griffith.
That is correct. Well done.
Thanks.
Okay. I knew the Adam Sandler one, but the Don't Crush That Dwarf is Fire Sign Theater.
It certainly is. Good.
Yeah. And I think that's it for me. We did Class Clown already. Did we do Class Clown?
No.
That's George Carlin, isn't it?
It sure is.
Yeah, there you go. Okay.
Good job. All right. So the ones remaining are Dress to Kill, Live on the Sunset Strip, Taste This, and The 2,000-Year-Old Man. Okay. Who are the comedians behind those records, or on the front of the records, actually.
All right. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. We would love to hear from you. So feel free to give us a call at area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Our panel today, that would be Kira Pace, technical editor, Joshua Cosman, classical music critic and writer. And my name is Dana Rodriguez. I'm your moderator, and you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That is KALW, your local public radio station. Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Okay. Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Hi. So for the food things, I think you still have Indonesian.
And which one is that?
It's a nasi goreng. Sorry.
Oh, yes. Nasi goreng is indeed Indonesian. Fried rice with meat and vegetables.
And moule frit.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's Belgium.
You are correct. That is mussels and fries.
And pupusas.
Mm-hmm.
El Salvador.
Nice. That is El Salvador.
And my last one is paella, I think, is Spain.
Yes, specifically Valencia, but Spain is correct.
Great.
Okay. Nice job.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Sure.
And all right, feel free to give us a call. Area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. I should point out that Kevin Vance from KLW had the station, had the number, the answer for paella, Spanish. And did we get bulgogi? Did somebody get that already?
Not yet.
He says it's Korean, which I believe is correct.
Yes. It means fire meat. It is marinated and barbecued meat.
All right. Okay. Good job. All right, let me give you a couple questions here. According to a study done by Rand McNally a couple of years ago, I'm going to give you four countries outside the United States, of course, four countries outside the United States, and I want you to tell me how these countries have been estimated to be closest in size to a certain U.S. state. Okay? So the four countries I'm going to give you are closest in size to what certain U.S. state? Now, I should say there are four different countries in four different states, just so you know. So, number one, Paraguay. Number two, Mongolia. Number three, Nepal. And number four, Kuwait. So, again, according to a study done by Rand McNally, these four countries are closest in size to what four U.S. states? Number one, Paraguay. Number two, Mongolia. Number three, Nepal. Number four, Kuwait. I'll give you each one guess.
Do you have a guess, Joshua?
Yeah, Mongolia is friggin' huge, so I'm going Alaska.
That is correct, of course. Good job.
Yeah, That was mine as well. I'll go with Kuwait, which I believe is the other side of things. I think it's pretty small. So I'll go I'll go Delaware.
No, you're on the right track, but not Delaware.
Is it Rhode Island?
It's not Rhode Island.
Okay.
So Mongolia is roughly the same size as Alaska. And yes, so we're still looking for Paraguay, Nepal, and Kuwait. What states are those the same size as? All right. Move on to the second question here. All the word answers in this question have a silent first letter. Okay? They all have a silent, all the answers have a silent first letter. I'm going to give you the definition. Tell me what the word is. Number one, a drooping upper eyelid. A drooping upper eyelid. Number two, an immune system problem. Number three.
Problem, you say?
Problem, yes.
Yeah.
Number three, generally a household item of low value. Number four, a former part of the British Armed Forces. And number five, a writer of aphorisms. So again, all the answers to the all the word answers to this these questions are have a silent first letter. Number one, a drooping upper eyelid. Number two, an immune system problem. Number three, generally a household item of low value. Number four, a former part of the British Armed Forces. And number five, a writer of aphorisms. All right, give you each one guess.
I am only confident of one of them. So
yeah, okay. Me too, so you take
Uh-oh.
It.
Uh-oh.
No, go ahead.
Is it the immune system problem?
No.
Oh, okay. I think that's psoriasis with the
that
silent
is psoriasis,
G.
Yes, of course.
Oh, nice. No, I have a feeling that a generally a household item of low value is a knick-knack.
That is correct also. Very good.
Oh, nice.
All right. All right. So we are left with, remember all the answers to these have a silent first letter, a drooping upper eyelid, a former part of the British Armed Forces, and a writer of aphorisms. All right, and all the answers have a silent first letter. And according to a study done by Rand McNally, these countries are closest in size to what U.S. states? The ones we have left are Paraguay, Nepal, and Kuwait. Those are closest in size to what U.S. states? All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, good morning. All right, so I will ask you some questions about my field, nuclear physics, nuclear engineering at Berkeley for 14 years. All right, so who, little boy?
That's that was one of the atomic bombs.
Okay, which it was dropped in Hiroshima? How about Fat Man?
The one at Nagasaki.
Yeah.
Very good. All right, what is the difference between the two? I will give you a hint. The fuel is different.
Mm.
The fuel was different.
So
I'm sure.
One was uranium and one was not.
Plutonium.
One was plutonium?
Yes. One was uranium-235. The second one was plutonium-239. So actually quite different. And second one was more explosive. As you know, overall, each one includes overall about 200,000 people. It is so what is the atomic clock?
The atomic clock shows how close we are to atomic war someplace in the world.
And I'm telling you, from my experience, we are very close. Between the horror going in Gaza and the horror going in Ukraine, we really are, and it would be very concerned. Okay, then the second one, what is the nuclear football?
Those are the codes that are carried around that have to be within a certain number of feet from the president at all times.
10 or 12 feet from the president. But what is it?
Right.
Is it what is the code? Who? What? How is the code carried?
briefcase?
In a briefcase. So you always see a Marine or some of the Army people about 10 feet behind the President of the United States carrying the briefcase. And my own opinion, we're really, really close to use that. Okay, so with that, our President Biden, he called Zelensky, that Ukraine President Putin, and he called...
Sorry about that.
The question is, what is the fact, you know, are we able to work some kind of saving the world kind of a thing, you know? So that is, yes. We are in a very, very critical situation.
All right, but again, this is not the place for this sort of discussion. This is not the right kind of show.
No, it's not about discussion. All right, we just need to bring peace to the world because it's very dangerous. Okay, name the actors that criticized Joe Biden yesterday or 2 days ago. Who was one of his biggest donors.
George Clooney.
Right.
George Clooney. Okay, that's it for today. Thank you very much. We'll talk again.
Thank you.
All right, Benjamin sent an email and said the low-value household item, said, couldn't that be a tchotchke? And that's really a good answer, and that's I could have used that. So yeah. I'm going to give you credit, full credit for that, and because that does have a silent first letter. So good for you. Let's see. CM is wondering if Paraguay is like Maine. No, it is not. Kuwait like Connecticut? No. Nepal like South Carolina or Alabama? No. So, how about that? Okay. And Kira, we'll start with you again.
All right. Let's see. What do I want to do? How about this? You know what? It's sports questions, but it's Olympics, so it's classy. So this is a two-parter. The 2014 Sochi Winter Olympics were the first games in which the IOC permitted women to compete in what Nordic sport that had previously and for 90 years only been open to men? Because as it turns out, the impact stress from the landings did not cause any uteruses to dislodge from women's bodies as had previously been feared. The second part of this is the 1984 LA Summer Olympics were the first games in which the IOC permitted women to compete in what competition that had previously and for 88 years only been open to men. As it turns out, the feat of endurance did not cause any uteruses to be dislodged from women's bodies as had previously been feared. So, first, women were allowed to compete in 2014 Sochi in which sport that did not dislodge uteruses. And in 1984 LA Olympics, women were allowed to compete in what other sport?
Endurance. Well, it has to be, I mean, I'm sure Josh is thinking the same thing. It has to be ski jumping or some sort of maybe snowboarding. I mean, something where you do a roll.
Snowboarding. Ski jumping was my thought, but women have been doing ski jumping for years, I believe.
Not but at the Olympics? I don't know.
Maybe not. What do I know?
No. Yeah, also,
ski jump is correct. 2014.
Right. It has to be something where you go upside down, you know, whatever. That would loosen your uterus and make it fall out.
Fall out, yeah. All right. So now we just want the 1984 LA Summer Olympics, first games where women were permitted to compete in what competition that is a feat of endurance that could cause uteruses to be dislodged from the body.
Again, huh? Okay.
Yeah. Oh, those uteruses.
Yeah.
Now they're just always dropping out.
Gosh, I had no idea they were so loose. So what year was the second one again, if you don't
84.
Mind? 84.
LA.
All right. Huh. Don't know.
Don't know. Mm-mm.
Well, then we'll leave it out.
All right.
Much like many uteruses for the IOC.
I know. You just take it out and put it on the sidelines until you were done. And then, well. All right. Larry is wondering if in an email saying the comedy album Live on the Strip, is that Richard Pryor?
It is Richard Pryor, correct.
All right. There we go.
Wait, aren't there two albums with that title?
Probably. I would doubt it.
Probably, but this is the one that is most famous, I think. But I'll
no, there's one album, and the reason I didn't answer this because I wasn't sure without like actually looking it up. But I feel that Richard Pryor and Robin Williams both had an album with the same title.
Live on the I'm not
and it
familiar
might be
with,
that one. It might be something completely different.
I'm not familiar with the Robin Williams discography, unfortunately.
All right, I gave an incorrect answer here. When Ede mentioned the atomic clock is the clock that measures time by monitoring the frequency of atoms, resonant frequency of atoms, which I did not say. I'm just reading this. And the doomsday clock is the one that I think Ede and I were both referring to.
I wondered about that.
That's the clock that measures how close we are to nuclear war. So, sorry about that. Thank you for the correction, Stefan. Thank you. Appreciate it. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello, this is Ruth.
Hi, Ruth.
Hi. Another word for knick-knack tchotchke is tzatzka with a T-S, tzatzka. And also is Carl Reiner of the 2,000-year-old man.
That's part of it.
And yeah, and
Carl Reiner. Who else?
I can't pull it up. I'm sorry.
You'll hit yourself when you think of it.
Thank you.
He's an EGOT director, EGOT winning director.
Right.
It's not often people remember only the straight man, not the comedian.
Yes.
That's interesting.
Carl Reiner's comedic partner for 50, 60 years, however long it was.
And he did a he's the I can't think of it.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Well, no. Take a bell anyway. You got Carl Reiner. You got us on the right track.
Thank you.
Take it home, you guys. Tell her who the other one was.
Mel Brooks
is correct. Carl Reiner and Mel Brooks together, the 2,000-year-old man. Okay. Good.
I think we have a space to call, 415-841-4134 with a question or answer, or toll free 866-798-8255. And Josh, I think it's your turn.
Okay. So for this question, I did a little digging. I went and looked for movies that have been nominated for Best Picture, either successfully or unsuccessfully, all the movies that have been nominated for Best Picture Oscar that have the name of a country in the title. I'm ruling out demonyms and adjectives, so not English patient. I'm requiring that it be the exact name of a current country, so not Lawrence of Arabia. And I'm requiring that the title refer to the actual country, thereby excluding Here Comes Mr. Jordan. Okay,
gosh,
so with all
the rules are longer than the question.
I know. It happens sometimes. We roll with it. So given those rules, just looking for movies titles with movie nominated for Best Picture Oscar that have the name of a country in it, and it's a two-part question. How many have there been in the history of the Oscars, and can you name it?
Well, what? Okay.
Can you name
so you
it? So
you don't want to tell us how many.
He just said it was it. It usually refers to one, so I'm going to go ahead and guess that there is one.
Give Kira a bell. She's swifter than you, Dana.
Yeah, I guess so.
All right. Can you name it?
Oh, boy. Can you give us a time frame on any of this?
I was surprised that there was only one. I thought I'd have a big, long list. And
Once upon a time in Mexico.
No.
Can we give us, before the 21st century? Can you do that for us?
Certainly before the 21st century. I didn't think you were going to grill me on it, so I don't remember what the year is. Let me look it up real quick, even if that's – okay, now I know what year it is. It was certainly before the 21st century.
What about Brazil? Was that nominated?
No, good guess, but not correct.
So this is either a winner or a nominee. It can be either
correct.
One.
Correct.
And Joanne is guessing China Syndrome.
That's a good, what a good guess, a good but guess. Also not correct.
I have to think about it.
Yeah, think about this. Turn it over in your head. So this is
all right. Once more,
the only movie ever to have been nominated for a Best Picture Oscar that has the name of the full name, correct name of a country in it, in which the title is referring to that country. So we're not looking for "Here Comes Mr. Jordan."
And the name of the country is the proper name of the country.
Yes. And it's the title refers to that country as such.
Has James Bond ever been nominated for Best Picture?
No, and GoldenEye is not a...
Yeah, that's what I meant, was GoldenEye for sure.
Is there one?
From Russia with Love?
From Russia with Love.
Oh, right, yeah. That's good.
Yeah, it was not that's nominated.
All right.
Someone out there will know it or be able to put it together.
Okay.
I'm keeping the clues slim for now.
Oh, Danny was wondering who it's Fire Over England, but no, I don't.
I'm not familiar with that movie.
That's a 1937 film with Laurence Olivier and Vivian Leigh.
Oh,
no, I don't think so. But I like your way of thinking, Dan. And okay, let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is that me?
It is you.
Oh, great. Hi, Dana. Stefan calling. I've been emailing you a few times, but never got through the phone. Stefan. So I have a very interesting book that I grew up with in my parents' household, and it's called Best Restaurants, San Francisco and Northern California. It's from 1975. And I looked through it recently and tried to find restaurants that were in that book that are still in business. And I only found three in San Francisco. And I was wondering what the inflation might be for food items. So I looked up the prices in the book. They have little facsimiles of the menus in some of the restaurants. And then looked up today's menu prices. And I'm just wondering if you can guess what the percent difference is. So this is 1975. I adjusted the prices for inflation, got a price for that, and then compared it to the 2024 price of the same item. Well, pretty much the same item. And I'm wondering, if you want to guess in like increments of 10 or 20%, whatever you think the price is. So I have three places, Sam's Grill, Tadish Grill, and Yang Tsing.
So you want us to guess on the how much prices have increased since
1970?
What he already adjusted.
Right. So are things like they're 25% more, or are they 100% more? Like, I'm just wondering what your thoughts are about percentage for Sam's Grill, for Tadish Grill, and for Yang Tsing.
I would say Yang Tsing is 100% more.
That's pretty good.
I'd go lower for Tadish. I'd say maybe like 30%.
Tadish was always a little expensive, so maybe you might be on the right track there.
I can give the answer for Yang Tsing. Yang Tsing was difficult because the book just said that per plate it was 60 cents. So I don't know if that's really true, but just for inflation, 60 cents is $3.50. And I did an averaging of all the prices that are there today, and I got $8.50. So it's about 140% more. So you were close when you said 100% more, like doubling it.
I thought you were giving me just certain options. Like, you know, there were three choices of you know, this much. So I just took the highest one. So.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So that's the thing is that Tadish Grill, you thought was a little bit lower than that, like 30%. Actually, Tadish Grill is about the same. They gave seafood entrees, they say in the book, between $5 and $8. And so that would be about $35. and I got kind of $35 today for an average of things. For Sam's Grill, there is a little bit more variation, but I'm wondering if you want to guess what that would be. So it's higher than what someone said was 30%, but it's less than 100.
I'll start the bidding at 65%.
A little lower.
Oh, lower. Okay. That's sort of surprising. All right. I'll say 45% then.
Yeah, in between, 50, basically. Depending on what it was, like for a sole, a broiled sole, or a salmon, about 45%. For other dishes like clam chowder, it's like over 100. So kind of averaging out to about 50, basically, percent.
All right. Okay.
That's it.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate the question and the research you put into it.
Oh, you're welcome. Bye-bye.
All right. Thanks, Stefan. Bye-bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. We do hope you're enjoying the show. We certainly enjoy hearing from you. The two lines open, or excuse me, the two numbers to call, area code 415-841-4134, or toll free 866-798-8255. I had a thought on your question, Josh, but you're probably going to say no. I thought of Roman holiday.
Rome isn't even a country.
It was at one point.
You're thinking of Wyoming.
All right.
And
let's see. Sparky, or also known as John, has asked, is the movie in question a passage to India?
Sparky for the win. Yes, it is.
There you go.
Well done. Yep. Good job.
All right. You got it. You got it, Sparky. And Michael is wondering if the Dress to Kill comedy album is Eddie Izzard.
That is correct. Nicely done.
There we go. Okay. And I think it is my turn, actually.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I'm going to give you, this is about film remakes. I'm going to give you three groupings of actors, just a couple, you know, two, and two. And I want you to tell me the film and the remake, sometimes with the same title, sometimes not, that they have in common. So the first is Fred McMurray and Robin Williams. So Robin Williams starred in the remake of a Fred McMurray film. What were the film's names? Fred McMurray and Robin Williams. Number two, Walter Matthau and Billy Bob Thornton.
Mm.
And number three, Carol Lombard and Anne Bancroft. So what were the films that both these actors starred, one in the original, one in the remake? Fred McMurray and Robin Williams, Walter Matthau and Billy Bob Thornton, Carol Lombard and Anne Bancroft. All right, I'll give you one guess each.
You're right. I've got two of them, so you can't foil me. Take which one you want.
No, I'm still thinking. I'm sorry. So you go ahead.
All right. Take your one, Josh.
So since we were on the subject of Mel Brooks, Carol Lombard starred in the original version of To Be or Not to Be, which was then remade with Mel Brooks and Anne Bancroft.
Correct. That is correct, of course. So we are still looking for Fred McMurray and Robin Williams. Robin Williams starred in the remake of what Fred McMurray film? And Walter Matthau and Billy Bob Thornton.
No, that's not right. Right? There's no Odd Couple version with Billy Bob Thornton.
No.
That'd be so good.
But there will be eventually, I'm sure.
Or Grumpy Old Men. I would watch that movie, actually. Grumpy Old Men starring Billy Bob Thornton.
Remember, they were not in the film together. It was, the one.
No, I get it. Yeah, one played the character played by the other.
Right. Yes. Right.
I stand by my statement. I want to see the updated version of Grumpy Old Men starring Billy Bob.
And we are past halfway, so let's quickly repeat any questions that have not been answered yet. Kira, we'll start with you.
Encebollado is the national dish of what country? Is Encebollado. Also, the 1984 LA Summer Olympics were the first games in which the IOC permitted women to compete in what competition that had previously and for 88 years only been open to men. As it turns out, the feat of endurance did not cause any uteruses to be dislodged from women's bodies, as had previously been feared. That's what I have.
Okay, I'm pretty stripped bare. The only thing I'm waiting for is for someone to tell me who made the stand-up comedy album called "Taste This." It's based on it.
Is that Jim Gaffigan?
No, good guess, okay. But not right.
However, I have plenty to choose from here. According to a study done by Rand McNally, these four countries are closest in size to what four U.S. states? The ones we have left are Paraguay, Nepal, and Kuwait. What U.S. states are those closest in size to? Paraguay, Nepal, and Kuwait. I am open if you want to take a guess again.
No, I got nothing.
Nothing? Okay.
I'll go with Connecticut now for Kuwait.
No.
Okay.
Not Connecticut. And all the answers to the next question have a silent first letter. Remember, the answers have a silent first letter. The ones we have left are a drooping upper eyelid, a former part of the British Armed Forces, and a writer of aphorisms.
I'm going to take a stab here. I don't know this word, but it's related to some words that I know. Is a writer of aphorisms a gnomist?
Yes, I will give that to you.
Or a gnomicist?
Yeah. That's great. Okay. A writer of aphorisms is a gnomist or a gnomist. And so we're still looking for a former part of the British Armed Forces and a drooping upper eyelid. Remember, the answers all have a silent first letter. And let's see. And Fred McMurray and Robin Williams both starred in the remake of what Fred McMurray film? And Billy Bob Thornton starred in the remake of what Walter Matthau film? All right, there you go. And, Cynthia has the answer to the drooping upper eyelid, probably an eye doctor. And the answer is ptosis. P-T-O-S-I-S, ptosis. Or ptosis. No, just ptosis. All right. Thank you very much, Cynthia. That was a good answer. Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good morning. Danny and Sandra in Albany.
Hi, Danny and Sandra.
Hi there. All right. Good morning. Well, we've got a few little random things here. How about the Olympic event?
I'm wondering, just because you said endurance, if it's triathlon.
It is not the triathlon.
Well, you know, that shows you how much I know about sports.
All right. Well, let's see.
That's a good guess, and there are definitely elements are in common.
So I wasn't going to say the biathlon, which is what skiing and rifle shooting. So for the states and the countries, how about Paraguay? About the same size as Illinois?
No, bigger than Illinois.
My goodness. And how about Nepal being about the size of Massachusetts?
Smaller than Massachusetts.
40. Well, then I'll go with Connecticut for that one.
I think she already guessed.
No, she guessed Connecticut for Kuwait.
Oh.
No.
All right. So the movies. With the remakes. Okay, I think we have two of them.
I wonder, and I'm not sure, but this is what popped to mind, the... Fred McMurray, Robin Williams. Is that Flubber?
Right. The remake with Robin Williams was called Flubber. And what was the original called with Fred McMurray?
I wanted to say something like the Nutty Professor. Or
something wore tennis shoes. I don't remember, honestly.
Was it Absent-Minded?
Yes. Absent-Minded Professor. Yes.
There you go. Oh,
and then Danny knows another one.
Well, I think the Walter Matthau, Billy Bob Thornton, is the Bad News Bears.
That is correct, and that was the same title each time. So,
oh, cool.
Good job.
Yeah, and
that's it.
Actually, you know, those are both watchable. I can't say the same about the Flubber movies. Because it's in the news, I'm wondering if Taste This album was by Ellen DeGeneres.
That is correct.
Oh boy. Well done.
I didn't realize it was in the news. I just
well, no, that, she
canceled
wasn't.
Some
she
shows.
Was. Yeah, she
and
did.
Then oh, right. She announced her retirement.
Ah, there we go.
All right. So yep. Little did you know, you were being timely.
I all right. Just,
well, that's,
yeah.
That's all we got today.
I think that's.
Thank you, guys.
Well, that's all.
Thank you very much.
See you on the download. Yes. Bye.
Thank you. Appreciate it. And okay, who has a short question they'd like to throw in now? Anybody? Don't all speak at once?
Sure, I got one.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, Ridley Scott directed a 1984 commercial that, according to Ad Age, is the greatest commercial of all time. But he also directed in 1973 an ad that is frequently cited as the UK's greatest classic TV commercial. What two companies were advertised? So he made the greatest commercial in the US, and he also made the greatest commercial in the UK, two different commercials.
I suspect Josh and I both know at least one of them.
Yeah, I don't think I knew Ridley Scott directed it, but the 1984 greatest commercial is for the Macintosh.
That is correct, for Apple. Yep.
For Apple. But that's, you were going to say the same, Dana?
Yeah. But the one where the Olympic, the runners
yeah,
coming in,
yeah.
And blah, blah, blah.
But 70, what did you say, 73?
1973.
In the UK.
In the UK.
So did this commercial play in the United States at all?
No. No, but we have plenty of British listeners.
Just the UK.
Who can call in, perhaps.
I haven't heard Hayes in a while.
Don't know the answer to this. All right. I should point out that Chris and Larry both got Flubber, the answer, and so good to them. And
wasn't that filmed in Berkeley?
That I don't know. I don't know. Mm. And did you, one of your dishes, was that?
The one I have left is encebollado.
No. All right. Encebollado. Okay, that's the one. Carlton was wondering if, is that wrapped in an onion? Wrapped in onion?
It is wrapped in onion, yes.
Okay.
Well, I guess, not wrapped. I mean, it's, but yes.
Although he didn't give the country, so I'm not sure.
Well, that was the question.
That doesn't really answer the question, I guess.
It is a fish stew with cassava and onion.
All right. Oh, yes. And Chris was wondering if the 1984 Olympics women's sport was pole vault.
It is not. No.
All right. Well, that would move your
That's an excellent guess. Yeah, yeah, sure. All right out.
Okay. Okay. Done. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, good morning. It's Bill in El Cerrito.
Hi, Bill.
Hey. Let's see. Dana, your words with silent first letters, the former part of the British Armed Forces, is that the Knights of the Round Table?
Oh, that's such a good answer. But
give him a bell.
That's not. It was. I'm thinking a little more current, okay. A little less imaginary. But it was a very.
I'm sorry, I just had to go for that.
That's
good one.
Fine.
Good one.
See, Kara is the Olympic event, the marathon.
It is the marathon. Going to run that uterus just right out of the body. Absolutely correct.
Yeah. Yeah, well. And let's see. For the countries closest in size to U.S. states, is Paraguay considered the equivalent of something like Colorado?
A little bigger.
Oh, like Montana?
A little smaller.
Say that again?
A little smaller than Montana.
Maybe Wyoming then?
No.
No. All right. Well, somebody will come up with that.
All right.
Okay. I have some questions about the climate. Mm-hmm. Between 2000 and 2010, how many extreme climate events occurred in the United States with losses exceeding $1 billion.
Well, since 2010.
Here's a hint, between 1 and 100.
I'll go with something. I think it's on the lower side, even though there were plenty of hurricanes. So I'm going to guess. I'll start the bidding super low at 5.
Oh, you need multiples.
Okay, so not low. So he said multiples and up to 100. So there you go, guys.
So, yeah.
And I'll just tell you this. The total direct losses from these events was about $500 billion.
So are we assuming that each one of these climate events, there are none that below $1 billion? Or are there?
No. And these are climate events in which the there were direct losses of at least $1 billion.
Okay. All right. So that's the cutoff point. They have to be at least $1 billion. Okay.
Yeah.
I see.
So again, I guessed low, and he said you would need multiples. So
right,
the other end of 5.
I will say 35.
All right, Josh, you get to go.
Somewhere
else.
I got no guess. I can't figure these things out at all. Sorry.
So it's well above 35. It is in fact 62.
Hmm.
Yeah. Now, how many similar events occurred between 2010 and 2020?
So I take you're asking.
And this incurred total losses of about $800 billion.
I take it you're asking this part of the question because it's obviously speeding up in occurrence.
Yeah.
So then I will say 71.
You're halfway there.
All right. I'll go with 142.
Close
That's
enough.
Unfair because you said I was halfway there.
141. Oh. Yeah. So that's a more than 100% increase in a decade.
Right.
Here's part two. Since 2008, what's the average number of people per year who've been displaced by climate events worldwide?
Oh, boy.
Average number of people per year.
Interesting. All right, I'll say 500 million.
That's somewhat high. Again, by multiples, too high.
All right.
I will go with 500,000.
And that's somewhat too low.
All right, you can tell us.
It's about 22.5 million people every year.
All right, not surprising, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. This is the last part. This should be this. This is something I think you've probably seen in the news and elsewhere. Since 2004, what type of extreme climate event risk has significantly increased for these places, these three places? One, the Western United States. Two, China. And three, South Africa.
And these are different, right?
Yes, they are.
Okay.
In all three.
South Africa, I believe, is drought. They are running out of water.
Give her a bell.
And then Western U.S., probably heat. And then China, I would go with earthquakes.
No, you're not for either the Western U.S. or China.
So would China be flooding or of some monsoon rain?
The cause of flooding.
All right. So over saturation with rain or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, rainfall. Yeah.
Right. And
okay.
Then, so the Western United States is
fire.
Not.
It's fire.
Is not fire? Okay.
It's fire. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Good job, guys.
Well, thank you.
Yeah,
thank you very much.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. I guess we can take another call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, this is Kangs, managing to call 2 weeks in a row.
Hey, good for you. Glad you did.
Thank you. Yeah. I have two questions, but there's probably only time for one. And I had the Bad News Bears.
Good.
Get a bell. Again, I've got some shows within shows inspired by Kira a few months ago, maybe.
Yay, I love these.
Yeah, yay, me too. I think they're going to be pretty easy. Got the Brown Hornet, Channel 5 Action News, Itchy and Scratchy Show, and Terrence and Phillip.
Okay, well, Terrence and Phillip is South Park.
Ding.
Itchy and Scratchy is The Simpsons.
Ding, ding.
But I thought Channel 5 News was too, so I guess not. What was the first one you said?
Brown Hornet.
Brown Hornet.
Isn't that Fat Albert or the Cosby Kids or whatever they called them?
Ding, ding, ding. Something. Yes.
Okay. Oh, all right.
So all you got is Channel 5 Action News.
Is that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
No.
Okay. It's animated though, right?
That is a theme we've got today, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. No.
It sort of, it fits in with, like a hint, it fits in with two of them.
Yeah, it's not King of the Hill. Oh, it's not Channel, no, because that's a Square Root. So it's not Futurama. It's not King of the Hill, because that's not what Nancy Hicks scribbles on.
I know. I'll tell you one of the newscasters.
Okay.
Trisha Takanawa?
Oh, that's The Simpsons again.
Close? You're very warm.
Oh, I'm sorry. Family Guy, of course.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry.
And shall I save my other question for next week?
Or yeah, next time? Yeah, I guess you better.
Okay.
But I'm glad you called.
Cool.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, you too. Yeah, all right, take care. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. Okay, time to wrap up here. Give our answers. Kira, start with you.
Okay, encebollado is the national dish of Ecuador. And Ridley Scott, in addition to directing the 1984 Apple commercial in 1973, he directed a commercial in the UK for Hovis bread.
Oh,
that's what I got.
All right. Okay. Well, I got to push back harder next time because I got cleaned out. No remaining questions.
Okay. According to a study by Rand McNally, the four countries in closest in size to what four U.S. states? Paraguay, California, Nepal, Florida, Kuwait, Hawaii. A former part of the British Armed Forces, the answer has a silent first letter. That would be the Wrens. The Wrens. Mm. W-R-E-N-S. And was that it? I think that is...
That's all I got written down.
Yeah, that's all I got too. Okay. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate your listening and calling. And thanks to our panel. That's Pure Pace Technical Editor Joshua Cosman, writes about classical music. And, of course, I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Thanks to Joanne Marr for having board and phones. And above all, our thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call in. We hope you have a great week, everybody. And we do hope you will join us next Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Thank you, everybody. Have a great week. Take care. Bye-bye.